This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The best way to make sure that a newborn starts out life right is with breastfeeding. Breast milk boosts the baby's immune system, helps the mother's body regulate postpartum, and has cost-saving benefits for the parents. Public breastfeeding has been legal in Texas for years, but nursing mothers sometimes are felt shamed or made to feel uncomfortable. What should we do about that? What are the barriers to breastfeeding, especially among minority women? How are women of color disproportionately affected when finding maternal care? Where can new and expecting mothers meet in San Antonio to get support and companionship as we talk about breastfeeding this afternoon? We want to hear your stories and your comments. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined this hour in the studio with Norma Cifuentes, manager of the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District's WIC Clinics and Baby Cafe, Ashley Green, co-founder and executive director for Latched Support, and Dee Huerta. She is the international board-certified lactation consultant with the San Antonio Breastfeeding Coalition. And it's great to have all of y'all here this afternoon. Norma Cifuentes, tell me more about the benefits that babies get with breast milk.
Wow. So it's like you said, it's endless, pretty much. I mean, babies who are breastfed tend to be a lot healthier just overall in general. They have higher immunity, less ear infections. They have less GI problems.
So, like intestinal support. Right. I mean, you're populating the gut with all the good bacteria.
It's probiotic filled, breast milk is. And so the benefit there is just so much greater. With babies who are 100% breastfed, even if they're just breastfed once a day, you know, we tell moms any amount of breast milk is a great amount of breast milk. So moms are healthier too. It helps to prevent things like breast cancer and ovarian cancer. With babies, they have higher IQs. They have less incidence of, like I said, ear infections. And breast milk is almost like a baby's first vaccination. So if you think about it in that aspect, babies just start off on the right foot with just a small amount of breast milk. And then if you build on that, it gets even better.
So there are immediate benefits and then lifelong benefits.
Correct, because later on in life, it can prevent things like obesity, diabetes. And so, like I said, even babies who have been breastfed have higher IQs later on in life. So again, the benefits are endless, and it's like a benefit that keeps on giving.
So you have to wonder, like, well, if it's so natural, if it's there, if it has all of these benefits that are lifelong, why is it such a struggle sometimes in order to make this more part of the norm for life? Ashley Green, co-founder, executive director of Latched Support, can you talk about why you founded Latched Support and why do you think that we have these barriers?
Well, working as a registered nurse and an IBCLC lactation consultant myself, and my partner Veronica, also co-founder to Latched, we were working in the hospital together as lactation consultants, and we both identified a need, especially with that diversity of lactation consultants as well. She and I are two of the three Black lactation consultants here in San Antonio, so that was a barrier and a need that we identified right off the bat. But also the different barriers that our Black and Brown moms face. Here in our own local community, not to mention everywhere, was another major need and push that made us want to start Latched, and also just an effort to increase the breastfeeding rates for San Antonio as a whole.
And so, Dee Huerta, you're a consultant. When do people call on a consultant? How busy are you?
Pretty busy. I work for the Christa Santa Rosa WIC program, and I have partnered with a few pediatricians. So what they normally do is when a mom comes in stating that I'm having some difficulties, a lot of pediatricians will say, okay, well, here, give baby formula. So the ones that I've partnered with have actually referred the moms to come see me first, so that way we can figure out what exactly is going on. Once we figure that out, we keep in contact with the pediatrician, keep in contact with that mom to make sure that she's doing follow-ups with us, so that way we can make sure that she's getting along on that journey.
So as we have this conversation this afternoon, you know, I want to keep in mind and encourage that we want to set up support systems and ways that moms can breastfeed their children anywhere, everywhere, with no barriers. But I also want to keep in mind that I don't want to shame anybody or make anybody feel bad that they couldn't make that choice. And a lot of times, you know, women find themselves in situations that, you know, they have to make compromises and things don't always work out the way that we would like. So what can we do? I mean, you know, Norma, what can we do to help moms?
Well, I mean, we have programs out there like WIC, and we do our best to promote breastfeeding, but we also recognize that, you know, there are instances where mom might be able to breastfeed or she has limited resources, limited time, or something medical that's preventing her from breastfeeding. And so we are there to support her with whatever feeding decision she makes. So if it's breastfeeding, we support her in that and we give her the resources necessary for that. But if it's not, then we support her there too. So we know, and I think people have a misconception that lactation consultants as a whole are just about getting moms to breastfeed. They're highly trained, highly skilled, and they do an assessment. And if the recommendation is that the best thing for mom and baby is to not breastfeed, then they'll make that recommendation. So I think moms who are kind of iffy or kind of on the fence or know that they can't, they should still feel confident in going to a lactation consultant and knowing that they're going to get honest advice. So whether it's for or not for breastfeeding, they're going to get that advice from a lactation consultant.
How much of this is due to the hang-ups that men have about breasts and that they're nuts about fetishizing women's parts of women's body and not recognizing that this is part of the way we care for each other?
I mean, it can be a factor, but I think more often than not, the factors are things like medical conditions that prevent moms from breastfeeding, or she's on a medication that prevents it, or there's something surgically Sure. that's happened in the past. So I think those are more of a factor than what you just mentioned.
Okay, but you know, Dee, tell me, I mean, people are weird.
Yeah, definitely. Mainly we see more of women who have an issue with moms breastfeeding in public, and it's not so much the men, you know, who fantasize about breasts or anything like that. I've been working in this field for over 10 years, and most of the men are really supportive and want their significant other to breastfeed. So they're not, I really don't see it as often as before. And it's more of other women. I think it's like an insecurity for other women that, you know, oh, my husband or my significant other is going to see your breasts, and it becomes a problem for them and not so much for the man.
All right. So we're going to talk more about the practicalities of breastfeeding, some of the issues new moms should learn, maybe some of the hurdles that they can clear with support. And what questions do you have out there? How can we help you? If you're an expecting mom or if you've gone through this, what tips can you pass along? Call us. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about all of the benefits of breastfeeding. And you know we like to keep it real here on The Source. So you can call in with your comments, your questions. Now's the time to ask those questions that you probably have always had, if you wondered about, and we're going to address them, and we will keep it real. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Did you breastfeed your children? How difficult or easy was it? Where did you find support when learning how to nurture baby? What tips and tricks can you share? Also, dads, what do you think? I mean, how are you going to support your significant other in this endeavor? It's not just up to mom. Everyone's got to come together and support mom in doing this. 210-614-8980. And Brandy is on the line. Brandy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I just called in as I was listening to your guest. I've been through this myself recently. I have a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I breastfed both of them. And the only comments I wanted to make were that I'm an older mother, and my mother was sort of of the generation of using formula, so she didn't really push me to breastfeed. So I think in that generation, mothers, maybe grandmothers in their 50s or 60s, a lot of them bottle fed, and so she really wasn't encouraging me that way. But I was really thankful that I did it, and I just want to say one other thing that I don't feel the guests have touched on is that breastfeeding is very painful and very uncomfortable, and it takes about, I would say, 3 to 4 weeks to where your breasts are conditioned, and it's great. It's easy after that, but initially people have to stick with it because it is incredibly painful. At least it was for me, and then it was fine after about 3 weeks.
Okay, Brandy, thank you so much for calling in. If you want to also call in like Brandy did, 210-614-8980. So, DeHuerta, can you talk about that? You're a consultant, lactation consultant with San Antonio Breastfeeding Coalition.
Yes. So first I want to say awesome job, Brandy, on keeping up with the breastfeeding, even though you were going through that pain. Breastfeeding should not be painful. I mean, if you are sitting there curling your toes, grinding your teeth, and kicking your feet while you're trying to latch this baby on, then there's something that is not going on correctly, and you should really seek some help immediately so that way we can figure out what exactly is going on. It may just be the position that you have baby in. Maybe we're not pushing baby far enough into the breast to get the breast tissue. Maybe there's something orally going on in baby's mouth. I mean, we won't know until we do an actual assessment. So we do highly encourage, you know, moms to come in if they are feeling that type of pain.
But isn't that a sign that you're probably getting an improper latch? What you want is a deep hole latch.
Correct. However, if there is something orally going on in baby's mouth, even with a deep latch, there could still be some damage done.
Okay, so do you want to add to that, Ashley Green?
I do. You know, I will, in a way, slightly agree with the caller. What I always tell my moms when I go into their home for the prenatal breastfeeding consult, which is an in-home breastfeeding class, and I'm preparing them for the hospital visit, the first 2 weeks, our bodies are going through a hormonal transition. So the hormones are kind of up and down, and it causes a nipple tenderness that can last up to the first 2 weeks. And keeping it real, like I like to do with my moms, is when the baby first latches within those first 2 weeks, sometimes it could be a little bit of a jolt, make your toes curl, and make you say, oh gosh, this baby's on there. But it should only last about 30 seconds, and then it should subside, and then all is well. It should not be painful, like Dee said, the entire feeding. It should not be painful.
Kind of the caller, and this is David. And David, welcome to The Source. Glad you called in. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. I'm glad I could be with you.
Go right ahead.
So, you know, listening to the program, I just wanted to share with your audience that, you know, I'm a father of four. My wife and I breastfed all of our children, but it was a learning process for us. My wife, we breastfed our first child, but we also mixed formula, so it was both bottle and breast, and we just didn't know all the benefits at the time. We knew it was beneficial, but not how beneficial it was going to be for both mother and baby. Once we started learning about the process, our subsequent children, our second through fourth children, all breastfed. Our subsequent children fed for up to 2.5 years.
Okay. David, thanks for calling in. Good to hear about that. Can I get a reaction to David's call from Norma Cifuentes from the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District's WICS Clinic and Baby Cafe?
Yeah, I think the caller is spot on. I think initially maybe there's a lot of parents that might not know all the benefits they've heard. They kind of know, and they do a little bit of both. But once I think you're on board and you're informed, then you're 100%. And we've heard those stories before. And especially at WIC and Baby Cafe, we get lots of dads that come in, and they're very supportive. And, you know, dads are a vital part of making breastfeeding successful for our moms. And so once they're on board, it just makes things a whole lot easier for mom and for baby. So
going back to the previous caller's comment about being of the generation that had to kind of rediscover all the benefits of natural breastfeeding and getting away from all of the products that were pushed on us in the 50s and 60s, you know, so that's been part of the journey is moving in that direction. And sometimes, you know, grandma's not on board. We have to explain it to her, and maybe she might be putting up a fuss. How do you sell that, Norma?
So we always invite, especially like our baby cafe, we always tell moms to not only bring their significant other, but their support team, because it's a learning process for everyone. And so if we can't get family to support, then that's why we do have programs like Baby Cafe, because you have a whole team there ready to support you and get you going with your breastfeeding. And we've heard moms that were just basically on the verge of giving up. And once they came in and got the help that they needed, they were right on board. So it's a learning process for all. And it includes dads, but it also includes grandma, aunt, whoever's there to support you. So everyone can learn. And then I think eventually what happens is that they do come on board and they do see the benefit, because babies are way more healthier and less likely to get sick. And so there's, you know, even myself, whenever I started in this field, I really, to be quite honest, I didn't have an opinion either way on breastfeeding. But having worked in the clinics long enough, you just see the difference between babies who are breastfed and who are not. And it is very dramatic. They are way healthier. They're less likely to get sick. And, you know, it's very evident who is and who's not.
So if a mother can't commit to a full year or even 6 months or 3 months, at least we want to get the very first few days, because there's a lot of benefit. Can you talk about that, Dee?
Sure. So in the first few days, the mom is producing colostrum, which is the milk that what we call for those first few days. And it is loaded with vitamins and nutrients and like the immunizations. So that's what the baby will get those first few days. So if mom is able to latch baby, hand express, pump, whatever means that she can do to get the colostrum to the baby, we strongly encourage that.
And can you talk about that a little bit more, Ashley?
Absolutely. So when the baby first comes out and is born, the gut is completely sterile at this point and empty. And laying down that colostrum, breastfeeding your baby those first few days of life, is really laying down the foundation, being able to seal that gut and line it to help fight those bacteria. If a baby is in the NICU, separated from mom, my gosh, the NICU treats the colostrum as if it's medicine, because it gets that baby out of the NICU faster. So just allowing that to be the first milk that hit the baby's gut is so beneficial.
We're learning things almost every day about how, you know, the gut is so important. We talk about the gut brain and all these things about this is such an important part of being a healthy individual. And this is step number one, is making sure that you're able to get the beneficial probiotics that you get from mom. And let me go to another caller. This is Erica. Erica, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I breastfed my three kids, and the tip that I wanted to share had to do with the supply and demand mechanism. I've talked to a lot of women who did not feel prepared when they left for the hospital for the fact that their baby would want to nurse frequently at first in order to establish the supply. And that led in a lot of cases to insecurity about their supply being insufficient. And then they would try to supplement, which is a little bit of formula, because they worried they weren't producing enough and the baby wasn't getting enough. And then, of course, supplementing with a formula, their supply would not be increased, you know, be decreased because of those, you know, the baby would be nursing less. And I've just talked to a lot of women who went through that cycle and ultimately gave up, but later wished that the nurses at the hospital had explained to them that it is supply and demand. The baby will nurse frequently at first to get your body to produce enough for them.
So it's all about, I guess, getting into a routine and a rhythm. Norma Cifuentes?
Correct. And probably that's the number one concern that we hear from most moms that come in seeking assistance, whether it's at WIC or at Baby Cafe, is that I'm not producing enough milk. And if you go back to the previous caller who, you know, your mother didn't breastfeed or your family didn't breastfeed, so you're very unsure as to, am I producing enough milk? This baby wants to feed, you know, every 30 minutes to an hour. And, oh, my gosh, I'm not doing it right, or there's something wrong. And so you do start to feel those insecurities. And so That's why it's so important to have a support team, whether, you know, it's somebody that you know, a friend, a group. There's lots of parenting groups out there, breastfeeding support groups out there, but there's also resources like Latch, like Baby Cafe, and like WIC that can let you know that you are right on track and that you are doing the right thing. But it is a supply and demand thing. And yes, the baby will nurse frequently those first few days.
Ashley Green, what do you tell a mom about that?
You know, I actually do have a tip, and I can feel where that caller is coming from, because that is one reason that we started Latched as well. We would see the moms take a breastfeeding class. They feel prepared. They have baby the first 3 days in the hospital. They have awesome lactation consultants here in the hospital helping them. But then they go home, and they're thrusted into breastfeeding alone, or they feel alone. And they don't know that my baby is, you know, is this normal that my baby should be eating this often? So that is another reason why Latched, we not only see you in before you go into the hospital, but we see you within the first 3 days after you've gotten home, because that is a fear of moms. Am I making enough? Should this baby be cluster feeding, which is they're eating frequently? Is all of this normal? So I encourage a mom to reach out sooner than later to a lactation consultant.
Yeah, and Dee, so moms are in a state where there's a lot of insecurity, vulnerability, lack of security going on at that time. They need a lot of assurance, don't they?
Yes, they do. Lots of affirmations, letting them know that they're doing a great job, letting them know that there's tons of resources that they can reach out to, so that way we can make sure that they are producing enough milk. A baby's stomach within the first 3 days is about the size of a cherry. And then when you have another mom who's, you know, putting 2 ounces in a bottle and giving that 2 ounces to a baby, mom can be like, well, that's not how much I'm making or I'm producing. So then, again, there's the insecurity of, like, comparing themselves to another mom.
But the mom's body will respond.
Correct. Yes. Mom and baby have their own rhythm, and they just need to figure out their own dance.
And part of the dance is learning how to latch on and
yes,
how to recognize the cues from the baby.
Cues, yes.
What are the hunger cues?
So some of the hunger cues are REM state, which is baby's eyes are closed. Eye movement behind the eyelids is very quick and fluttery. Another one is going to be the rooting reflex. So baby sticking out their tongue, kind of moving side to side, maybe making a couple of noises, but they're still kind of asleep. The next one is hand in the mouth. When the hand goes in the mouth, that's a pretty good sign that I'm really hungry. And not long after that, you're going to start hearing the crying. And of course, a lot of parents, when you ask, when should I start feeding my baby? They'll tell you when baby cries. Well, a crying baby is going to be harder to get latched onto the breast than a baby who is calm and ready to eat than one that's starving.
So it makes perfectly sense when you explain it, you know, but if you don't have someone to tell you these things, how else are you going to know? So ask the questions, find people who have been through this and who have the patience and who can help you deal with it. We're going to continue talking about breastfeeding and why this is so important, why San Antonio needs to be a breastfeeding kind of town. This is the best thing we can do for babies and for moms. Call in with your questions and comments. Number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about breastfeeding. It's the best way to make sure that a newborn is going to start out life right. It's by breastfeeding, interacting with mom, getting that mother's milk that boosts the baby's immune system. It helps with the gut. It does all sorts of good things. Why aren't more women able to breastfeed? What are the barriers that we have out there that we can kind of knock down and help them get to a place where they can do that? Call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. So Norma Cifuentes, you run Baby Cafe. What is that?
Baby Cafe is a place where moms can come to socialize. It's a cafe-style environment, non-clinical, because we realize that, you know, by the time a mom has her baby, she's been to probably so many doctor's appointments, been in the hospital, and she just wants a calm place to come and either socialize with other moms or to come and see a lactation consultant. So we have
so many people judging you.
Right, right. So
get away from that.
So we have this really beautiful spot where moms can just come and be, you know, and they don't even have to come in for help. They can just come and be and just start and chat chat with another mom, how's your baby? How's it going? And we have that. We do have moms that come and meet there regularly. You know, they have a friend come over and they're just there. But a majority of our moms come in because we do have lactation consultants that are readily available to them to help them with whatever they need, even if it's just asking a question, you know, showing them how to use a breast pump, whatever their need is, that lactation consultant will take it on.
DiHuerta, we got a call, a email, someone asking, and you're with the San Antonio Breastfeeding Coalition, email ask about alcohol consumption while breastfeeding, whether to do's and don'ts, but let's also add in there everything else, like marijuana consumption, tobacco consumption, whatever else, that, you know, even coffee. What's real?
So we'll start with the alcohol because, you know, we like to party. And being a brand new mom, you're going to have those stressors and you've already been off the alcohol for, you know, the last 9 months. And so you want to unwind and relax and have a glass of wine. According to Dr. Hill, we want to wait at least every 2 hours for each serving of alcohol that we drink. So for beer, if you're having an 8-ounce serving, that's going to be 2 hours.
What do you mean? I don't understand. So if you have the beer, then you should wait two hours before you breastfeed.
Start breastfeeding again. Correct. Okay. So for every serving, so that's going to be 8 ounces for beer. It is 1 ounce for hard liquor or spirits, and then 5 ounces for wine.
Okay. What about marijuana?
So marijuana is a big no-no. We want to stay away from the marijuana while breastfeeding because it can affect brain development for the baby.
Because that's passed on.
Correct. Yes. It does go through the breast milk and is given to the baby directly. So it can also cause asthma due to smoking. And so we definitely want to stay away from that. As far as tobacco products, the benefits outweigh the risks of smoking tobacco products. So we do encourage moms who do smoke to breastfeed. We do make a plan for them.
So you're saying it's better for them to breastfeed if they are smokers.
Correct.
Than to not breastfeed if they are smokers. Of course, what would be best would be for them not to smoke, but that's really hard for people to give up.
Correct. Yeah. So we make a plan for them and we suggest that they do a feeding first, then they go to smoke. And of course, we want to stay away from the baby, have a change of clothes. So that way baby's not inhaling the cigarette smoke.
What about caffeine?
Caffeine. It's going to depend on, you know, each baby. That's more of a learn your baby style. But we usually limit caffeine to 1 to 2 cups a day. And I don't mean big old slurpy cups. We're talking about 8 ounces.
Not the super grande venti thing.
Right. We're talking about 8 ounces okay. As a cup. So
you have to realize you are sharing all of the nutrients and everything that you're doing to your body with your baby. And so if you are intaking caffeine, there's going to be caffeine that's going to be passed on along. And then if you wonder, why won't my baby go to sleep? Well, hey, take a look.
Yeah, how many cups of Coke or coffee have you had in the last 24 hours? And that'll let you know.
Okay, we've got a lot of callers here. And Sarah, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk a little bit about the challenge of being a working mom while trying to maintain breastfeeding.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yes.
Yeah, I gave birth to twin boys and was really lucky to work at a place where I got 12 weeks off to stay home and bond with them. So when I went back to work, we had a great routine. They were exclusively breastfeeding. And within about 4 weeks of being back at the office, I was pumping at work. We had a mother's room where I could pump in private. 4 to 5 times a day. And anyone who's had to pump knows that setup, pumping, cleanup, you know, it takes a lot of time. That lasted about another month before I had to supplement my baby's food with formula. And, you know, when you add in formula feeding plus pumping plus breastfeeding, you're really not doing much other than just feeding your children. And it can be extremely isolating to either be attached to a machine or, you know, tandem feeding your babies, you're pretty much topless, so it's not something you can necessarily do, you know, at a restaurant or out at the park or whatever. And it's just, it's a big challenge, and I wish that I had known going into it to be prepared for how much time out of my day it was going to take.
And so how old are your boys now?
They just started kindergarten last week.
All right. Well, congratulations. I know it was tough, but it sounds like you did a lot of things right. But she was under a lot of stress. So, Ashley Green, what do you tell moms like that?
Absolutely. Whenever we're at home with baby and have that time from work, it's always good that we start pumping early on, start that collection. But then also, I think it's a good idea to reach out and work with a lactation consultant so that they can set you up on a pumping and returning to work plan. Because sometimes we have the stressor of being separated from our baby, the stressor of coming back to work when we've been gone for 12 weeks, and just getting back into that rhythm and that flow is very stressful on our bodies, which can affect milk supply. But then also we get into work and we can let hours go by before we remember to step away and go pump. So we decrease the frequency, which can affect our milk supply. So it's always good to work with a lactation consultant before you return to work so we can set you up on a plan to hopefully reach success with breastfeeding.
But Sarah had a very interesting setup with a workplace that supported her as much as it was able, more than most places it seems like. How do other moms deal with all that? I mean, it's just piling on mom, more and more being asked from her. What do we tell our moms? Dee?
Tell them do what you can do. Don't overextend yourself. Your sanity is a little bit more important because you have to be able to take care of yourself to be able to take care of your family. So if it's stressing you out, take a break. You know, go a couple of days without doing it. And if you need to supplement. It's not going to hurt. You know, stick with it for as long as you can. It's just a lot of encouragement, giving them a plan to go off of. I mean, if you have a mom who's like, no, I do not want to do any formula. I just want to do breastfeeding. I need to get my, then you sit down, you work out a plan. Try to figure out, okay, where can we get these feedings in? Where can we get the pumpings in? And just breaking it down for mom.
So our women of color are typically placed in high stress situations.
Correct.
Norma Cifuentes, how do we reach out to these moms?
So the nice thing is that there are laws, labor laws now that do require employers to allow mom to take time to breastfeed or pump for her baby, and it requires them to have a separate room. So I think a lot of workers who are hourly workers don't know that they do have that right to ask for those things. The other thing is that insurance companies now are required to provide breast pumps to moms. And so when all else fails, you also have WIC program. The WIC program provides breast pumps to moms who need them at no charge. And so there's lots of resources, but again, it's just getting moms informed so that they can know what their rights are. And again, to have that plan in place when they do go back. They've already talked to their employer. The employer already knows what, you know, mom is asking for and is expected of them, you know, by law.
So if you don't know that WIC has that, or the insurance program is required to do certain things if you have insurance,
right,
then you're not going to be able to get those benefits.
Right.
Ashley Green, what should we be doing to encourage women of color to take advantage of breastfeeding?
Of breastfeeding. I think, you know, it's really grassroots, getting out, and education is really, really big. We see the barriers are, there's quite a few. One of the top ones are transportation to a breastfeeding help. Also, you know, having the breastfeeding promotion from our OB-GYNs and our healthcare professionals during pregnancy, our African-American community especially, does not get that breastfeeding promotion and education during the OB-GYN visits. And studies show that changes a mom's concept and mind. Also, breaking down the social norms. Like we spoke earlier, our families may not have breastfed, or they may have naysayers around them that are telling them things like breast milk isn't enough, you need to feed your baby formula. We find that very often, especially amongst our African American community and women of color. So breaking down those social norms as well, really education.
This is a dumb question, I'm going to bring it up anyway. I've heard that some women have the misconception that they think that breastfeeding is going to wreck their rockin' bod. I mean, is that something that's out there?
It is a misconception. Some women think that, I guess, it will make your breast, I guess, saggy, as you want to say. It's actually the pregnancy that does that, because as your each pregnancy and subsequent pregnancies, the breasts enlarge, decrease. It's that that changes the breasts and their shape, I guess, to be polite. But yeah, that is a myth as well.
So don't let that keep you from doing what's right for your baby and for you. We're going to keep talking about nursing your child, breastfeeding here in San Antonio, how we can be a more supportive community. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the importance of breastfeeding and how San Antonio can be a more supportive city for the moms who want to breastfeed their children. Richard has called in. Richard, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. This is Rick. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yep. My point is, my wife and I have adopted two children, and we were there when they were born. But my wife started breastfeeding. It turned, we found out through a missionary, actually, that in poorer nations, if a mother dies during childbirth, that you have to give it often to a relative. And if the relative produces milk, the baby lives. And if not, the baby dies. We supplemented it with formula at first. But after a while, she started breastfeeding. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I've never heard anybody else talking about it or doing it.
Okay, Richard, thank you for that. I know there's breast milk support. There's like a breast milk bank. Is that something that we have here locally, Dee?
Well, the breast milk bank is located in Austin. However, we do have depots where moms who are registered through the Austin Milk Bank can drop and deliver off their milk. Most of that milk is given to babies in hospitals that are in the NICU. So if a mom isn't able to produce enough milk, or if the mom just decides that she doesn't want to give baby her own milk but agrees to donor milk, then they'll give babies those milk. But the caller is right. Moms who want to breastfeed, even if it's an adopted child, they can with support and guidance from a lactation consultant and their doctors.
We got an email from someone who says, if it's a male same-sex couple that adopts a newborn, how do they deal with the lack of breast milk?
Sometimes they will ask for milk donations throughout the community. So it's called milk sharing. As a lactation consultant, we do advise that they, weigh the risks and benefits to formula feeding and milk sharing, and then make an educated decision on what's going to work for their family.
Okay, here's Diane. Diane, thanks for calling into The Source. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, shame on any of these people that are trying to shame mommies that are just wanting to feed their babies in public. It's the most natural thing in the world. I mean, my goodness gracious, that's what they're for. Their mammary glands. It's like, okay, America, kind of get over yourselves and realize this is normal. It's natural.
Diane, we were applauding you here in the studio. Let me go straight to another caller, Desiree. Desiree, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, and what a great topic. I'm a first-time mom. I'm due November 7th, and my question is pumping and bottle feeding as effective as feeding directly from the breast?
Okay, thank you for the call. Norma Sofuentes, is there either or here?
I think it's really up to mom and what works best for her, like Dee was saying. But, in the ideal world, mom will exclusively breastfeed. But,
But then feeding if it's pumped.
But if it's pumped, it's fine. I think probably Dee and Ashley can probably speak better to this.
So when you, first of all, either way, I encourage mom if they can, if they have to pump only, absolutely. That's, it's the best that we can do. But ideally, if we can latch baby directly to breast, of course, that is best. When we latch baby to our breast, their baby spit or saliva gets on our breast and actually sends different signals to our body to tailor make that breast milk for baby and give different vitamins.
So there's a communication going on.
There's a communication, exactly, between baby and breast. breast and body. So ideally, I would say that.
Right. There's, I guess, a totem pole or hierarchy. You want baby at breast, and then you want mom's expressed milk, and then you have donor milk, and then you have the milk sharing, and then you have formula as a last resort. So it's, there is a hierarchy on you know, how you want to get the breast milk to baby. Also latching baby on baby's brain development, all four quadrants of the brain are active, so that we have more brain development at the breast than we do a bottle. On a bottle, it's only two quadrants that are lit.
Also, sorry, the baby can control the feeding at the breast. Mm-hmm. So we can't overfeed a breastfed baby. So that changes as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to hear a lot about nipple confusion, and now I hear that nipple confusion is a myth. So what do we do?
So with nipple confusion, it's more of a, I think more of a preference. So if baby is getting a bottle and it's easier to suck from the bottle than it is from the breast, then baby kind of says, I really don't want to
work for it.
So can you give me that other thing that you gave me earlier? So I honestly think it's not so much as confusion as to of a preference. And that, at least that's what I notice more than confusion.
Well, I've heard that don't give a baby a pacifier because you could be creating nipple confusion. Ashley, have you heard that?
Yes, early on when we're trying to develop breastfeeding relationship, if we introduce a pacifier, it has a long, hard nipple that hits the roof of the baby's mouth in a different way, and it will alter either the latch and make it not that comfortable, or baby may be fussy when mom tries to latch baby to the breast the next feeding, and it just makes mom's job harder.
Okay, back to the callers. Heather. Heather, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and I've been listening through this, and granted, I was a new mother 18 years ago, became a second mother 13 years ago. So some things have changed a little bit since then. But the one thing I have, I mean, I'm so happy and wonderful about the breastfeeding and everyone supporting and being supportive of breastfeeding. I'm on the other side. I'm a small percentile, I feel. I couldn't produce, and I tried and I tried and I tried. And with my first one and with my second one, and I had the lactation, and I had natural, and I had everything under the sun from A to Z to try to get to help me to produce milk, and I just couldn't. It didn't work. And I was made to feel as if I was some kind of leper, and there was mother groups that they were nursing, and I was pulling out a bottle of formula because 18 years ago, breast milk banks weren't a thing, and I was in a smaller town, I literally was voted off the island in about 2 seconds because I was doing so much wrong by my child, but it was the only option I had, and I had doctors and nurses and lactation specialists and other mothers just practically crucifying me because I was doing the worst thing, and that's a horrible feeling to have other moms turn on you like a pack of dogs because you're just trying to do the best you can. And I think there needs to be understood that there's other things that may be in the way, and don't think the mom's not trying hard enough is what I heard, and that kind of thing. And you're just, you know, you need to try harder. Right. Well, that, as we have all talked about, the stressors make things not work as well as they do. And I think that just there needs to be the understanding that sometimes it just doesn't work.
Heather, thank you for calling in. Yeah, people will never pass up a chance to feel self-righteous and make other people feel bad, and I'm sorry that happened to you. And what do we tell people who are in that position, Ashley? You're not producing, and I'm sorry, it's not your fault.
What a lot of people don't understand is some moms might have underlying medical issues that can impact the milk supply, and it has nothing to do with anything that the mom is doing wrong at all. It just might be something else that's going on with the body that might not allow us to make enough milk for our baby. And the mommy shaming, I hate it, but it is also real. And, you know, just supporting her, reaching out for the support in any way, shape, or form will help her.
Last call. This is Meredith. Meredith, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm a mom in San Antonio, and I have three children, and I have been breastfeeding for essentially the past 6 years. And, you know, I found a lot of places in San Antonio that offer a lot of support. And, you know, I have had friends that have chosen not to breastfeed because it was medically difficult for them. And that just horrifies me, because any way a mother chooses to take care of her child should be supported. It is hard to be a mom. Breastfeeding, bottle feeding, supplementing, it's tough. And I think the main message should be that whatever way a mother decides to feed her baby, we shouldn't shame them, not in public, not in private. That's my main takeaway. And, you know, I heard one mom
We got it. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in. And you're absolutely right. But I think what we're trying to do today is provide as much information as we can, the best information out there, so that moms can make the best decisions available to them based upon their needs and the baby's needs. And they have to weigh all sorts of things that are out there. And so Norma Cifuentes, you know, it's a difficult calculus.
I agree. And really, like I said, I think most moms, or some moms, might get the misconception that a lactation consultant is like a lactivist, you know, just gung-ho all the way. That's the only choice. But like I said, they are very skilled and trained to do assessments. And, you know, just like Ashley and Dee have said, you know, they're going to give you a straight answer. And sometimes it might not be that breast milk is the way to go. But we're going to do everything we can to support you and get you on the right track to meet whatever your breastfeeding goal is.
A couple of quick questions. Do you have these teas that are supposed to be really good for helping for moms, you know, with things like brewer's yeast and stuff in there? Do those help, or do they make a difference? Anyone know anything about these special teas for breastfeeding moms?
So evidence-based has shown that the teas do not help produce
more milk.
It's a
scam. You don't want to say it. Okay, what about nipple cream? Look at the ingredients, make sure it's natural.
Yes, there are some water-soluble vitamins that can be passed to baby, so make sure you read it and research what's on the back of that list.
All right, great conversation. I want to thank all of our guests, Norma Cifuentes, she's with Baby Cafe and the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District WIC Clinic, Ashley Greens, the co-founder and executive director of Latched Support. Dee Huerta is the International Board Certified Lactation Consultant with the San Antonio Breastfeeding Coalition. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks so much for tuning us in.